We turn our attention now to what could be entitled organizational communication. When tasks require input from several individuals, managers need to give some thought to the communication network. Communication network is the pattern of information flow among task group members. Considerable research has assessed the impact of different networks on the communication and task outcomes. 5 major network systems will be discussed in the next few moments. 3 of these networks are fairly centralized, since most messages must flow through a pivotal person in the network. In the WHEEL network, W-H-E-E-L, in the WHEEL network, which is the most centralized, all messages must flow through the individual at the center of the WHEEL. In the CHAIN network, some members can communicate with more than one member of the network, but the individual in the center of the chain tends to emerge as the controller of the messages. In the Y network, the member at the fork of the Y usually becomes the central person in the network. The last two networks are more decentralized, since communication flows more freely among the various members. In the circle network, each member can communicate with the individuals on either side. Finally, in what has been labeled the star network, which is the most decentralized, each member can communicate with any other member. Research indicates that for relatively simple, routine tasks, the centralized networks are usually faster and more accurate. This is because each of the centralized networks, the individual in the central position tends to become the coordinator, thereby facilitating the completion of the routine task. In contrast, for more complex tasks, the decentralized network most often proved to be faster and more accurate, with the star network showing the best performance of all. With complex tasks, the free exchange of information provided by the circle and the star facilitates the process and encourages creativity. An intriguing aspect of these research findings is that group morale in the network studied was higher in the decentralized ones, regardless of the type of task. These results pose somewhat of a dilemma for managers. Centralized networks appear to be the best for achieving accurate performance on simple tasks, particularly when time is an important factor. However, morale within the organization may suffer. For more complex tasks, the decentralized networks achieve more high performance and high morale. From a practical point of view, many organizational tasks are likely to fit into the complex category. If tasks are relatively simple and call for more centralized communication networks, managers may be able to improve morale by providing opportunities for subordinates to work on more complex tasks that allow interaction with others in a more centralized network. An important consideration in assessing organizational communication is the movement of information throughout the various parts of the company. When information does not reach the individuals and groups that need it for their work, serious effectiveness and efficiency problems can be the result. Patterns of organizational communication are sometimes referred to as communication channels because they represent conduits through which managers and other organizational members can send and receive information. Therefore, we now consider the various directions of communication flow in organizations. Every minute of every day, countless bits of information are transmitted throughout an organization. information flow generally occurs in three directions: downward, upward, and horizontal. Downward communication refers to the flow of information from higher to lower levels within the organization's hierarchy. This means that communication flows from a higher level to one or more lower levels in the organization. Examples include a manager giving an assignment to a secretary, a supervisor making an announcement to his subordinates, and a company president delivering a talk to her management team. This can also include such things as staff meetings, company policy statements, company newsletters, informational memos, and face-to-face contact. Most downward communication involves information in one of five categories. Number one, job instructions related to specific tasks. Number two, job rationales explaining the relationship between two or more tasks. Number three, procedures and practices of the organization. Number four, feedback on individual performance. And number five, efforts to encourage a sense of mission and dedication to the organizational goals. It has been said, therefore, that five types of information are sent downward through formal channels: instructions about what subordinates are expected to do and how they are to do it, the rationale for or explanation of the job's purpose and its relationships to other jobs and the organization's overall purpose, the organizational's goals and ideology to inspire a sense of mission, motivation, morale, the company's policies and procedures, and feedback to subordinates about their job performance. Now, it's important that employees receive the information they need to perform their jobs and become loyal members of the organization. Research studies have indicated that employees often lack this adequate information. One problem has been identified as information overload. This means that employees are bombarded with so much information they fail to absorb everything. Much of the information is not very important, but its volume causes a lot of relevant information to be lost. A second problem is a lack of openness between managers and employees. Managers may believe no news is good news, or they may believe if only they knew what I know, they wouldn't be upset about this decision, or they may believe I just don't have time to keep them informed on everything they want to know. Or some may even believe, well, it's none of their business anyway. In other words, some managers withhold information even if sharing the information is extremely important. A third problem is filtering. When messages are passed from one person to another, some information is left out. When a message passes through many people, each transmission may cause further information loss. The message can also be distorted as people add their own words of interpretation. This means that downward communication across several levels is prone to be considered distorted communication. A recent survey of middle managers across the United States indicates that the quality of the information they receive is actually very poor. As much as 80% of top management's messages may be lost by the time the messages reach the levels below. The three main reasons for this distortion of filtering. First, faulty message transmission may occur because of sender carelessness, poor communication skills, and the difficulty of encoding a message that will be clearly understood by individuals at multiple levels. Second, managers tend to overuse one-way communication through such means as memos, manuals, newsletters, leaving little possibility for immediate feedback regarding receiver understanding of what they've received. Third, some managers may intentionally or unintentionally filter communication by withholding, screening, or even manipulating information before sharing. Intentional filtering typically occurs when a manager seeks to enhance his own personal power, his own prestige, his own program, over subordinates by tightly controlling organizational information, understanding, as we've said earlier, that information is power. Thus, the fewer the number of authority levels through which communication must pass, the less information will be lost or distorted. For this reason, many organizations are actually reducing the number of hierarchical levels. Many are seeing this as an advantage to flatter organizational structure, that is, fewer problems caused by filtering our information as it cascades through numerous managerial layers. This also places emphasis on multiple channels of communication and repetition of communication. It is also important to encourage feedback in the form of upward communication. Upward communication travels from lower ranks in the hierarchy. Thus, this is the vertical flow of communication from a lower level to one or more higher levels in the organization. Forms of upward communication include one-to-one meetings with one's immediate superior, staff meetings with superiors, memos and reports, suggestion systems, grievance procedures, and even employee attitude surveys. The information disseminated through upward communication typically pertains to perhaps progress of current work projects, or serious unsolved problems and situations in which subordinates need help from superiors, or new developments arising within or affecting the work unit of the organization, or suggestions for improvement and innovation, and it can even involve employee attitudes, morale, and efficiency. Upward communication is important, certainly important for several reasons. First, managers learn what's going on. Management gains a more accurate picture of subordinates' work, accomplishments, problems, plans, and attitudes. Management also gains subordinates' ideas. Second, employees gain from the opportunity to communicate upward. Employees can relieve some of their frustrations, achieve a stronger sense of participation in the enterprise, and improve their morale. Third, effective upward communication facilitates downward communication as good listening becomes a two-way street. The distortion that characterizes downward communication also can plague upward communication for two main reasons. First, as mentioned previously, information favorable to the sender will likely be sent upward, whereas information unfavorable to the sender will probably be blocked even when it is important to the organization. Subordinates are more likely to filter information when they do not trust their superiors, when they perceive that their superiors have considerable influence over their careers and these individuals have a very strong desire to move up. Second, managers do not expend sufficient effort in encouraging upward communication. Therefore, the problems common in upward communication are similar to those in downward communication. Managers, like their subordinates, are bombarded with information and may neglect or miss information from below. Furthermore, some employees are not always open with their bosses. In other words, filtering occurs upward as well as downward. Subordinates tend to share only good news with their superiors and suppress the bad news. They do this because certainly they want to appear competent, or it may be they do this because they mistrust their boss and they fear that if he or she finds out about something that they've done, that they will be punished. It may even be that they fear that the boss will punish the messenger, even if the reported problem is not that person's fault. Or they may believe that they are helping their boss if they shield him or her from problems. For these and other reasons, managers may not learn about important problems. Another directional flow of information is horizontal communication. That is, lateral or diagonal message exchange within work unit boundaries, involving peers who report to the same superior are across work unit boundaries involving individuals who report to different superiors. Horizontal communication can take many forms. It can include meetings or reports or memos, telephone conversation, face-to-face discussion between individuals, and so forth. Managers, it was discovered, spend about one-third of their communication time in horizontal communication. Horizontal communication usually relates to one or more of the following areas. It usually relates to task coordination, problem solving, information sharing, conflict resolution, or peer support. Horizontal communication has several important functions. First, it allows the sharing of information, coordination, and problem solving among departments. Second, it helps solve conflicts. Third, by allowing interaction among peers, it provides social and emotional support to employees. All of these factors contribute to morale and effectiveness. Three major factors tend to impede necessary work-related horizontal communication. First, rivalry among individuals or work units can lead employees to hide information that is potentially damaging to themselves or that they feel may aid others. Second, specialization may cause individuals to be mainly concerned about the work of their own unit and to have little appreciation for the work and communication needs of others. Third, motivation may be lacking when subordinate horizontal communication is not encouraged or not rewarded. Committees, task force, and matrix structures are common means that managers use to help encourage horizontal communication, particularly across work unit boundaries. The effective use of horizontal communication in organization requires that peers doing the communication across work units keep their respective bosses informed of significant developments. Otherwise, the vertical chain of command would begin to break down, and soon the managers in the hierarchy would not know what is going on. Some management scholars add a fourth communication direction to the downward, upward, and horizontal. They identify this as vertical communication. Vertical communication is communication that involves a message exchange between two or more levels of the organizational hierarchy. Thus, vertical communication can involve a manager and a subordinate, or can involve several layers of the hierarchy itself. It can flow in a downward direction, or it can flow in an upward direction. Studies generally find that managers spend about two-thirds of their communication time engaging in vertical communication. Now, it should also be mentioned that organizational communication differs in formality. Formal communications are official, organization-sanctioned episodes of information transmission. They can move upward, downward, or horizontally, and often involve paperwork. They're often prearranged, and they're often necessary for performing some tasks successfully in the organizational scheme or framework. You might think of formal communication as communication relating to one's position in the organization. Informal communication is more unofficial. This communication takes place without regard to hierarchy or task requirements. Informal communication can be thought of as relating to personal rather than positional issues. For example, personal relationships completely unrelated to organizational positions might exist among employees who ride to work in the same carpool or employees who have children in the same school. The term grapevine, which is going to be connected to this whole idea of informal communication, the term grapevine can be traced back to the war between the states, when telegraph lines that were strung from tree to tree in grapevine-like patterns often produced intelligent messages that were garbled. Grapevines exist in virtually all organizations, and grapevine communication patterns are likely to include both vertical and horizontal elements. Grapevine communication stem largely from personal relationships, which really may overlap, but frequently do not coincide with communication requirements associated with the hierarchy in the task. Gossip and rumors run wild on the corporate grapevine. Boys complain about their bosses. Everyone talks about his or her favorite sports team. People whisper secrets about their coworkers. The grapevine helps employees interpret the organization. It helps to translate managers' formal messages into employee language. Certainly, it conveys information that the formal system leaves unsaid or really wishes to keep under wraps. On the other hand, the grapevine can be destructive when irrelevant or erroneous gossip and rumors proliferate and harm the operation. One classic study investigated the four possible configurations for grapevine chains. In the single-strand chain, communication moves from person A to person B to person C, and so on. In the gossip chain, person A spreads the message randomly, as do individuals F and D. In the cluster chain, person A tells the message to three selected individuals, and then one of these tells it to three others. According to the study, the cluster chain is the most predominant type. This finding suggests that individuals who are part of grapevines are likely to be selective about the persons to whom they relay information, and that only some of those persons will in turn pass the information further. Overall, grapevines tend to be fast. They tend to carry large amounts of information. They tend to produce data that range from accurate to inaccurate 50 to 90% of the time. Although grapevine communication are often perceived by organizational members as being fairly inaccurate, the problem seems to stem largely from misinterpretation when the details are incomplete. Several things can be said about grapevines and organizations. Although not officially put in place or even sanctioned, they are part of every organization and certainly cannot be abolished. They may sometimes create difficulties when they carry gossip and false rumors, but they have many good aspects if managed properly. The grapevine can be a release mechanism for stress, as many people like to talk to others about their work. Researchers have recently suggested that grapevine gossip, by dwelling on transgressions, may be a valuable aid in communicating organizational rules, values, morals, traditions, and history. Grapevines also give employees reaction time to think through impending changes, and thus can facilitate employee contribution to organizational goals. In addition, they may help foster innovation by enhancing communication among various parts of the organization. This is the end of number 5.